So in Buddhism, we talk about the great aspiration, what we call the bodhisattva vows, this heart of bodhicitta, this heart of awakening, that it aspires to free ourselves first and then free all beings from suffering. This great aspiration. And then there's the great action, or the action that goes with the aspiration. So it feels that this aspiration is, sometimes I think when we say the great aspiration, it almost scares us, or it almost immobilizes us sometimes, as if almost as if one has to be a great being in order to have a great aspiration and then to have a great action from that. When actually what we know and experience is that the practice is every day. Right, so it's almost as if it's an everyday aspiration and an everyday action. So yes, there's moments of like, whoa, that awakening moment, and then really most of the time, because as lay people we're in the world, it really is everyday aspiration, everyday action. And maybe if we think about it like that, it becomes more practical, more implementable, almost maybe more manageable, maybe easier even to think about the fact that it's every little thing that it, if it's done with that aspiration around freedom from suffering and freedom for the world, that the action leads to that as well. And then it's not this as if one has to wait until we're perfectly ready to just save the world. Because I'm not quite sure when that's going to happen. And so, how do we, as lay people living in the world, how do we, bring these great aspirations into our daily lives? And you know, in our tradition, this whole everyday mindfulness is really that. You know, the Plum Village Thais mindfulness, everyday mindfulness practice, right? That's one way, and I'd like to talk about other ways. But when you think about the way that the retreat centers in this tradition are set up, where if you've been to one or you've gone to a retreat, or yeah, any center that's set up in that way, there's a bell of mindfulness every 15 minutes. So you're walking, and then there's a chime from a clock, and everybody in the community stops and breathes through time. And then they keep walking. If you're eating, the chime from the clock, especially if you're eating in the dining halls, there's a chime from the clock. And you might have a spoonful of rice or something about to go in your mouth. It varies. Some people put it in their mouth, put the spoon down, or some people just hold the spoon with the rice there and breathe. So everything stops. And in that moment, there's this mindful breath, two, three, and then everything continues. And I know I've shared this before, but I remember when I first went to the monastery, it was like something, right? Like you're eating, and then everybody stops. And so it's like, are you going to be the new person who doesn't stop? Right? And then after a while, it just becomes part of it. You're talking, you stop. You're scrubbing a plate, you're washing dishes, you stop. Everybody stops, the whole community stops. So this is one of those, this is a way I tie in his brilliance, in trying to learn in the midst of a war, right? How do people practice? Like, how do you still practice, everyday practice? How do we not put aside practice for our, you know, it's like, okay, we're done with our sit now, let's go back to our whatever life, right? And so how is it every day that one in a community who are intent on liberation, how can we practice together? So these communities get created that there's these mindfulness bells, and these bells have a meaning, and you breathe, and over the day you've stopped and paused and taken breath X number of times. I've never tried to calculate it. Maybe I'll do that one day. But you get the idea, right? Is your training, it's this continuous training in every day, right? So this aspiration is followed by this action. So we aspire to get free. And how do we do that? There's this, in this tradition, in these practices, there's these practices. Oh, you stop and you breathe. So that's the action, right? The aspiration and the action, they go hand in hand. And so this is what engaged Buddhism is. It starts right there. It's engaging in everyday life with practice, not waiting for, I don't know, whatever it is that we feel like we need to wait for in order to act into our liberation. And not stopping when we come up, you know, like we have 30 minutes of silence or 30 minutes of stationary practice, and then did my practice for the day. Now I can like really get down to it. And a lot of us do that because the world is consuming us, and we are consuming the world. And that is not about mindfulness, and that is not about practice. And there's certainly no aspiration for liberation in someone trying to sell you the latest tech gadget. Yeah, the earbuds without the thingies. Yeah, y'all know what I mean, right? And so that there is no mindfulness and no good intention of liberation in that process. That aspiration is to take our money. And to make us consumers. And they're acting. Yeah, they're acting out of their aspirations. And when I say they, it's not a separation of they from me, because some of us may work in those industries, and some of us may have family and loved ones in those industries, right? And so even in those industries where there's a certain consumption mentality, capitalist exploitation mentality, right? I want your money. I'm going to make sure I get it. I'm going to pay you the least amount of money that I can to make you labor for my product so I can get more consumers to purchase. So even in those very tight places, right? How is it that we practice? Today after yoga, there was some discussion with folks, and they're talking about the cynicism for change. The yoga studio one day, a couple weeks ago, could see coal dust and from the window, and so much so they had to close the window. And someone said, "Well, how come I didn't see it in the newspaper?" Yeah, how come we don't see that kind of toxicity into our communities in the newspaper? And then someone else was talking about the despair, the hopelessness that because some big coal industry has so much power in a city like Baltimore and other cities, right? How can that be stopped? Right? We have Superfund sites here in the city. Where we know that the air we breathe is toxic, yeah, still in the 21st century. And so there's right now, not just in Baltimore, but there's like a lot of places where we wonder, because the question came up, what can we do, right? Like, how do you not go to despair? How do you not go to feeling, I can't, there's nothing I can do, the forces are so great. And so that's where this everyday mindfulness comes in, right? Because in those moments where we think there is nothing that we can do is exactly the moment where we want to remember that right in their moment, there is something I can do right now. So even in that moment of despair, are we able to remember our breath? And just one breath, two breath starts to bring us back to clarity, a remembering. Of freshness, right? That there is something else besides what the collective might be feeling. So it doesn't deny the challenge and the difficulty and the inequity and the exploitation. It doesn't deny anything. It does not deny the suffering. In fact, the practice invites us to fortify, nourish ourselves. So we can acknowledge the suffering and investigate it in such a way that we see clearly what is to be done. And in fact, I think sometimes our despair comes from not being able to have the spaciousness to see that there is something to be done because it's so consuming, right? It's all consuming, the despair, right? You can get really overwhelmed. And especially for folks like if we're in certain communities where it's like pervasive, it's easy to get into the collective mind stream and to forget. And so what is it that keeps us to remember our aspiration for the liberation of ourselves and all beings? And then what is it that can help us move into action? So this idea that action requires something big, like it needs to be a big action. I think that is right there with the great aspiration. So it's great to have, it's wonderful to have a great aspiration, and it's wonderful to have great actions, big actions. And what we all know is that the way life shows up, it is really everyday action. And when I say everyday action, what I mean is if you live with roommates, it means cleaning up your mess. Just something as simple as that shows a kindness and a consideration for someone else besides yourself. And so you might say, like, well, how is that going to stop the coal companies from manufacturing coal? Right? When the way that happens is that if you're not able to show up for with kindness and really actually justice, right? Fairness in a small everyday action, how in the world do you think you're going to be able to show up for the big injustice, these big, almost seemingly impossible injustices of so much power? Do you really can think you can do that? I know I couldn't do that. I mean, I've tried it, so I know I can't. Yeah. And so this path is really one of saying, this is an everyday liberation thing, y'all. And in every moment, this is where how we're getting free. If I cannot practice kindness in the place that I live and move around every day, then the kindness I practice when I get into the larger spaces is the kindness of superficiality, actually. It's what I think I need to do when I'm in these spaces, right? Because when you go back home and you can't even be kind to your neighbor, then there's inconsistency, there's a gap. And we would be very hurt if someone said to us, you know, you're not really being fair in your household. And yet, we feel empowered to go out into larger spaces and tell people that they're being unfair. And yeah, they are being unfair. But there's an inconsistency if we're not able to act out in that same fair way in the places that we inhabit daily. And I know sometimes it's hard to just to say, oh yeah, I can't just sit in my house and be kind to someone, because there's so much amiss in the world. Like, things are changing. And yet it's the training, it's this continuous training that gets us clear. It's the I'm about to say something to my partner, my sibling, a close friend, a coworker, a classmate. In a moment of anger, can I stop and breathe before I let those words come out of my mouth? Just that little act of taking a breath before that leads us to clarity and understanding so that we don't have regret later, right? Because out of that moment of anger or fear or confusion is when we act in ways that we regret often. And then we don't have to go clean it up afterward or have someone go clean it up for us afterward. And so in those just daily moments, that's our Bodhisattva path. It's the everyday aspiration and action. You know, you get up in the morning and when, you know, a lot of people practice like this. I want to do three kind acts today. Yeah. And it's those kinds of those three small kind acts today that keeps us on this path. And bit by bit, as we do that, it grows. Because if we can't show up in the space of peace and equity, meaning what comes off this body, the energy, then we're not contributing to nonviolence. We're not contributing to justice. We're not contributing to peace. We're bringing a personhood with an energy of whatever it is that we've been cultivating. And that energy that we bring, it's real, right? You know, you walk into a room with people, and sometimes you're like, I need to get out of here. I can't be here. Right? We all have that sense, right? And so or you walk into a room with people and you're like, oh wow, this is vibing for me. I'm like, I can really, you know, you don't even know what it is, but like something makes you relax, you feel like held. You're like, oh yeah, this is community. And so what are we doing every day in this body and mind to contribute to that collective space of positivity and peace and justice? That room we want to be in, or are we not able to hold that so that we're contributing instead to that room that we didn't want to be in? When we like, whoa, when you walk in, you know, it's really harsh sometimes. You walk into a space and it's like, whoa, the energy almost bounces you back out of it. Sometimes you don't even cognize it, it's just an energy that pushes you out, right? And so that energy is made up of people. Collective people coming together with a certain attitude and a certain way of being and thinking. And so in our practice, our everyday practice, we are bringing ourselves to be a certain way. And then when we step into those places, we are collectively contributing to that collective energy that we either want to be around, or we, and because we feel supported by it, we feel belonging, or into those spaces where we feel othered, it doesn't feel safe, it's a colonial space, you can feel it. You know, sometimes you like, I mean, yeah, it's all colonial to some, it's a colonized country. And we're still living in with many ways of being perpetuating coloniality still. And yet there are places that are practicing bringing themselves, people bringing themselves collectively away from that, transforming that, being in solidarity in a different way. And to remember to be that, it requires us to be able to know what is this body, what is there that needs healing, why do I stop and breathe, what is my practice that helps me to remember that, do I have a practice? Yeah. The invitation is that the practice shouldn't only be when we come together collectively with a sangha or a community of practice. It needs to continue after we come off the screen or we leave that collective space. And so it needs to continue in the way we walk, the way we eat, the way we drive, the way we speak with each other, the way we walk from the bed to the toilet, the way we brush our teeth. Do we remember the water as we're brushing our teeth, or is we just expect that the water is ours? Yeah, because that's all part of practice. That's all part of the seeing everything that's there for what is there. The practice of kindness, right? This, how do we continuously cultivate that? So if we think that we have things that we want to share, but we're not actively able to share because we have some attachment to it. Like money, for example, or some favorite thing, the practice of letting it go in mind, yeah. Like it begins that action of letting things go physically. Right? So the daily practice, the everyday mindfulness. Every day kindness, every day letting go, right? You can sit and meditate. Maybe you have like a favorite cup or something. I have a favorite cup. This is it right here. It was made for me by someone, right? So can I sit in meditation and say, I'm gonna gift that to someone? Like letting go of the attachment to it. Or practicing with it breaking, meaning not dropping the thing and breaking it, but just practicing with, oh, what happens when it breaks and it's not there anymore? So, all these different ways that we can practice to live into this, dare I say, this great aspiration that's really made up of all the tiny daily aspirations when we wake in the morning. You know, we have the five precepts or the five trainings of non-killing, non-stealing, non-sexual misconduct, non-lying, non-intoxicants. So we aspire to live into those values. And then how do we act into it, right? How do we act into it every day? And the words we use, the non-lying, the non-violent speech, the non-gossiping. The mind states, the mind states of anger or fear or confusion or jealousy or competition. You know, how do we practice with those mind states when we aspire? You know, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to get angry like that. So what is it that we're doing to not get angry like that, the aspiration and the action. When we do our loving kindness meditations, the metta meditation, which is a practice, and We often start with someone that's close to us because it's easier to send kindness to someone who's close to us. And then someone we is close to us and someone that we is a friend or a colleague and someone that we're neutral with. And then sometimes we go to someone we have difficulty with, someone we have great dislike for. So how do we, why should I send kindness to that person who's causing me harm even, right? Or someone who has caused me harm, right? So the understanding is, and this is what the clarity of mind brings and the practice brings, is people are causing harm because they're totally unhappy. They're confused. They live in fear. They live in anger. They live in fear of losing what they have, especially people who have a lot. They have a lot of fear of losing all that. Like the more the high, what is it, the higher you are, the longer the fall, the more painful it is. Yeah, it's just like that, right? So people with a lot have a lot of fear, right? And so they act out of that fear. And oftentimes it could be very violent in ways they don't realize. And so what do we, why would we want to send kindness to this person? Well, we send kindness that they heal that fear. Because if they weren't fearful, they wouldn't be acting in these ways that they're causing so much harm, right? And then we realize that there's a way that our own ways of being, when we're fearful of losing, like I'm fearful of losing my cup. That I have that energy in me too, that energy of wanting to hold on to it really tight and not letting anyone else have it. And so, how do I act if I don't practice to let it go, right? That's the whole idea of the meditation on letting it go, or the meditation of giving it away to someone, or the meditation of watching it break into pieces. Because what it does is it helps us with our mind states that bring us to a space where we might cause harm. And so these people who have a lot and don't have a practice, they're living that out, yeah, causing harm all left, right, up and center, all over the place. And so when we send kindness as a practice, we're sending that they transform that. And it's a practice to see how we all have that. We're all similar. And so are we going to transform ours? Are we going to practice in a way that we can make those transformations? And so then also practice in a way, get spacious enough so we can send energy that they transform theirs. And so, no, it's not a big protest with a big sign and chaining myself in front of their houses, or standing in front of their Trump's hotel in DC. Done that too, right? And that's good too, that's great. It's all part of the aspiration and the action. And the invitation is that it doesn't have to be a big action or a big aspiration. The big aspiration is always there, right? It's a big, great aspiration of all beings. We want all beings to be free from suffering. And maybe there's not a great action that goes with that. Maybe it's a lot of small daily actions that collectively build up to fulfill that great aspiration. And so the invitation is, what are your daily daily, small actions every day in your house, the ones that are there every day. What are they? How can you live into the great aspiration through your daily actions every single day on this path of freedom? So thank you for listening, and I will invite a sound of the bell for us to just let that all flow away.